You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Just gone 8:05 Central African time. Let's welcome a pious and sagacious Umar with a hearty assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, after dinner, Minter keeping you company this evening. And, well, I can tell you, Lukalo is with me and your host, Shafaat Ahmed Khan. And, looking forward to the program. Very shortly, we'll be talking to our very own Abu Bakr. See that on a segment, Muslim News, day after Anwar Qasim joins us. And then we go for the Isha Azan, followed by our very own Maulana Salim Karim. Keep the family happy. And we end off with Ibrahim Badacha. Let's welcome you and Abu Bakr. See that over the hearty. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me how you're doing this fine, beautiful evening, Abu.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Gee, with the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are doing well, Shafaat Ahmed. And we pray that you and the listeners of Marcus Sahaba are also within the same loop. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Jazallahu anna Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima wa awluhu. Gee, Shafaat Ahmed, a lot of things happening in the Muslim world, from Palestine to Qatar to Southeast Asia and in Africa also. But we are going to concentrate today on the state of India. The state assembly elections will be conducted on Thursday in the state of Gujarat. We know that Prime Minister Modi has been called the butcher of Gujarat in regard to the massacres that he carried out against the Muslims in the state. The state is ranked fourth as the most industrialized in the country. The economic development is concentrated in the hands of the elite, with no benefits reaching the poor, the marginalized Dalits, Muslims, and Adivasis have no alternative to the dominance of the BJP. The party has already ruled the state for the past 27 years, and there is no other party, regional or national, to challenge it, Shafaat Ahmed. Gujarat is also the most urbanized state in India. And hence the rural populace are a forlorn entity in being able to shake the stranglehold of the BJP. The BJP is ideologically hegemonic, and in that its campaign is on the nationalistic level of Hindutva, and bread and butter issues affecting the electorate is swept under the carpet of fascism. Education and health and poverty hardly gets any mention. In its campaign, the BJP set the agenda by announcing its support for the 2002 massacre of 2,000 Muslims in the city of Godhra. The marginalized communities are expressly excluded from the state structures to gain any benefit from the industrial growth in the state. Now, in comparison to what is happening in Gujarat, if we go to the south of India, in the states of Tamil Nadu and Kerala and Telangana, the vibrant political struggle between the communists and the Congress and the BJP has ensured that profits from industrialization are plowed back into development, and the result is stunning development outcomes are achieved, and the benefits are practically taken right to the man in the street, Shafaat Ahmed. And the difference in the lifestyle of those people in the south and those in Gujarat especially, it's like on the educational level, health level, on the employment level, Shafaat Ahmed, it's just tremendous. And it is because of the vibrancy of the political system in the south that, the communists, the BJP also is involved there, and the local regional parties, and they have succeeded in proving that should development take place and shared with the populace, there can be positive results for everyone. But for the Muslims and the Dalits in the Gujarat state, Shafaat Ahmed, they are being marginalized to such an extent that the nationalists a doctrine of Hindutva, absolute nationalism, and being Hindu, the minorities are excluded from being employed in the state structures, in the government, in the civil service, and completely marginalized, Fatima. What the results will be on Thursday, by Friday, Saturday, we'll get the results. It may be that even more stringent measures will be passed against the minorities, especially with the Muslims, Fatima. They are having this problem of the fanatics and the fascists claiming mosques that were built during the Mughal period, claiming them as their properties, Fatima, as their temples that were converted to mosque. And we've seen it, what happened with the Babri Masjid once. And the other masajid also, they have got claims, Fatima. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for the Muslims and those that are being oppressed in that region. Jeesh, Fatima, the marginalized communities are expressly excluded, as you said, from the state structures. The fact that link between human development and winning elections has been snapped and really harnessed by the BJP in Gujarat has meant that it created and forged an unusual situation where a rich state has a relatively poor population, and the poor population is expressly against the minorities, that is the Muslims, the Dalits, and the others, Shafatamad. And then we go on to Pakistan, Shafatamad. Prime Minister, former Prime Minister Imran Khan cannot be marginalized with the, even with the assassination attempt that was carried out on his life. But what he has done is he has announced that the senior leadership of the PTI has taken a decision to withdraw from the provincial assemblies, especially in Punjab and Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, effectively dissolving the assemblies. The strategy is to opt out of a corrupt system, which is called that supports the imported government in all the situations. Khan was buoyant on the long march trail in Rawalpindi after surviving an assassination attempt on his life in Wazirabad over a month ago. He also, hello, you there, Shafat? Hello? Shafat? Hello? Hello? All got cut off.
No, yes, we are there, Abu. You know, we have some of the
Kremlins.
What do you call this? Yeah, Kremlins coming through. But I'd like to add to what you have said, Abu. You know, when you talk about the BJP, you talk about the you know, the Congress and so forth. And this Rahul Gandhi is having this long march, you know, and he says it's very well funded, it's well organized and so forth. But he's keeping away from a very important area called, you know, as he spoke eloquently about Gujarat and so forth. And it seems as if many of the commentators are saying that Rahul Gandhi is putting up more of a show than of a real challenge to the BJP, because if you want to change the story of India, or you want to change the hate that is so rife in the Indian politics and amongst the Indian population, you have to take on Modi head on and take him out of the equation. But it seems as if Narendra Modi and the majority of the people of India are all hell-bent and mostly are Islamophobes. Your reaction there, Abu?
Gee, Shafatamad, and I think the sense of fear, you know, in fact, many of the ministers have come out and openly said that you must rape the Muslim woman, attack them. At, you know, they have already started with Muslim girls at, attending schools and colleges with the hijab, taken them on, that they're not admitting them because it's not part of the uniform. And a sense of fear, absolute fear, especially in the state of Gujarat, has been created, Shafatamad. You know, the wounds of the 2000 and to massacre in Godra, after 2,000 people were killed. And if you read the story of the Godra massacre, Shafat Ahmad, they used to hurl gas tanks into homes, and they used to explode with the little children and elderly people within the homes, and these houses used to be destroyed, Shafat Ahmad. And the level of violence that was perpetrated by those whom Modi, in fact, at that time he was the state minister of Gujarat, the CM, the chief minister of Gujarat, and under his supervision, this massacre was carried out, and this fear from that time has really penetrated the minorities and those Hindus. You know, there is a difference between Hindu, I don't know whether there is a difference between Hindutva and Hinduism, Shafat Ahmad. You know, it's like how the Zionists and many in the West place that there is a difference between Zionism and the Jews, Shafat Ahmad, but directly everyone is supporting the Zionists and everyone is supporting the Hindutva ideology. And this is what is really taking. And Congress seems to be a spent party, especially in the Gujarat province. You know, they had elections for chairmanship of the Congress. And in fact, it was expected that Shashi Tharoor, you know, who is an outspoken and very eloquent congressman in parliament, he seems to be one of those guys who really stood up for the Muslims and also bring to the fore the contribution of the Muslims in India. But Rahul Gandhi and his mother, Sonia Gandhi, doesn't seem to be... I don't know why they don't want to take on the BJP head-on, or the BJP has entrenched itself, I think, with the fear among the Hindus also. If we speak to people from India, especially from the Gujarat, from the Gam, Shafat Ahmad, they tell you that, you know, though we have grown up with the Hindus and the Gujaratis next to one another, the people are afraid to, in fact, associate with them also. There is so much fear being promoted by the RSS in those states. And I think Rahul Gandhi has just taken it for granted that the BJP will run through Gujarat and take control of it as it is for the last 27 years, Shafat Ahmad. And then I was talking about the return of Imran Khan, Shafat Ahmad, when I think we got cut off, you know. Prime Minister Imran Khan has announced that the senior leadership of the PTI had taken a decision to withdraw from the provincial assemblies, especially in Punjab and Khyber Pakhtunkhwa. These are the provinces that the PTI controls, and in Azad Kashmir also, effectively dissolving the assemblies. The strategy is to opt out of a corrupt system that has been in place now with the overthrowing, ousting of Imran Khan in the vote of no confidence. We know that it is dubbed the imported government, Shafat Ahmad. Khan was brilliant on the Long March trail in Rawalpindi after surviving an assassination attempt on his life in Wazirabad over a month ago. He also announced the suspension of the march to Islamabad to avoid chaos and violence. And Shafat, as we discussed, I think you brought it to the fore, that this may be because of the first cricket test between England and Pakistan taking place on the 1st of December in Rawalpindi. And after 20 years, England has decided to tour Pakistan. And I think Pakistan needs this sporting interchange. And Imran being a sportsman, and as you explained to me, Shafat Ahmad, that Ramiz Raja may have spoken to Imran Khan and he came to a decision that, look, rather let's have peace during the build-up to the test match in Rawalpindi and see how things go. Because Pakistan cannot afford to have a situation where this important event is cancelled because of the threat of violence in Rawalpindi and Islamabad. The decision to dissolve the... Hello, Shafat, you there?
You know, Abu, while you're talking about Imran Khan and Ramit Raja, you know, as I told you, that they had this conversation, and many other things, you know, you find that there are certain pundits that I maybe, you know, they're pushing the Nawaz Sharif agenda forward, where they forget the crimes are perpetrated by Nawaz Sharif and his family, and, you know, even his family members accused of being, you know, people that plot killings of even Imran Khan's assassination. I think his daughter has been implicated and so forth, but nothing's coming forth, you know, to the fore about the whole thing. But as you say, there are certain media in Pakistan alone that, you know, point fingers as India, at Imran Khan by saying, you know, he is a disruptive force, taking away, it's a policy of deflection, taking away the reality that Imran Khan was there to clear up, you know, the Pakistani scenario from these two families being looting and, you know, robbing the country of its future or the future generations of, you know, already achieving their dreams and so forth. And then if you really look at that scenario, and then, you know, the new army general that's there, Munir, I think. Yeah,
yes, General Munir, yeah.
Yeah, what he did, I don't know if you're aware of this, but what he did when he was head of the intelligence service under Imran Khan. He's the one that investigated the Panama Papers and all those things. And whilst he investigated that, you know, you know the people that were involved there. But there was one involvement that implicated, you know, Imran Khan's wife. This is, what's her name? Bushra. Bushra's family of, you know, having funds in these you know, Panama schemes and this scheme and that. So he brought it to the attention of Imran Khan. He said, there's it. Have a look at this. And guess what happened? Imran Khan moved him from that position, Abu. Your thoughts?
Gee, in fact, there is a lot of conspiracy going on. I hope it's a conspiracy, Shabbat. And this Asim, General, Lieutenant General Asim Munir, was once stationed in Madina Sharif also, and it is contended that by the age of 38, he became a Hafiz al-Quran at that time, Shafat Ahmad. And he seems to be a very meticulous and committed military guy, Shafat Ahmad. But I think what has happened is the mere fact that he was moved from the being the head of the ISI by Imran Khan, I think Shabazz Sharif has played a trump card in appointing him, and this could be to the detriment of Imran Khan if it is the truth, Shabazz Ahmad. But, you know, in Pakistan, the military plays a very dominant role in the politics, and General Bajwa also, or the outgoing chief of staff, has intimated that the interference of the military in the political sphere is not very healthy for the democracy of Pakistan. He is going to retire at the end of
But Abu, Abu, you know what, I can add to this. You know, when you look at the military of Pakistan, they say that, you know, most of the youngsters that are in the Pakistani army are all, they say, it's alleged they are mostly Imran Khan supporters. Even the deputy, you know, that under this new General Lieutenant Munir, he is also perceived to be an Imran Khan man. So when it comes to the army, they say that Imran still has a lot of support, because General Bajwa was playing a double role with Imran Khan. And they say even when you look at the new leader, although he could have had his differences, but he's a very forthright man, and perhaps, you know, it's all in Allah's hands. You know, Allah can turn the heart towards you or against you. And in the case of Imran Khan, like, you know, I meet a lot of people, and some people are so anti-Imran Khan, I get a shock of my life. And I say, you know who you're talking of? You say, yeah, no, the man is like this, and he's like that, and this and that. And sometimes, you know, when you look at that, but you look at the good he has done, not only with the Pakistan, but also for the Muslims around the world. They are, you know, I would say 85 to 90% of the Muslim world has embraced and celebrated Imran Khan. And these 5%, I don't know what to make of them. Abu, your thoughts?
Gee, Shabbat Ahmad, I think Pakistan has got new vibe that is running through the country, Shafat Ahmed. You know, Imran's call for Azadi, for freedom, you know, from being attached to the United States of America and money lords, the Zardari and the Sharif families, Shafat Ahmed, to free the people from the slavery of the people into the slavery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that, Shafat Ahmed, this call is a very vibrant call. And I think the only way this moment we can use is that elections be called as soon as possible, which the Sharif government and the imported government is resisting at this time, that they will only call it in August 2023 when it is due, Shafat Ahmed. But with this action of dissolving the assembly, Shafat Ahmed, something like 563 seats will become vacant, and pressure will be placed on the Sharif government to really consider bring the elections early. Another problem that is confronting the government also, Shafat, and the foreign minister, Bilawal Bhutto, has tried to hold talks with the Tehrik-e-Taliban in Pakistan on the Afghan border, who have withdrawn from the agreement that they had had with the Imran Khan government, and they said that now they will not be bound by the agreement of not attacking anyone in Pakistan, especially in Quetta and the Balochistan area along the Afghan border. And they have freed themselves, but Bilawal Bhutto has tried to enter into negotiations with them, which have not been very successful. And the challenges are tremendous, and I think the only way that the economic and the political and the social situation can be resolved is to have a government that will be elected by the masses, Shafat Ahmed. And at this stage, it is very clear that Imran has really awakened the Pakistani people to this call of Azadi and freedom, Shafat Ahmed, and the implementation of the Medina system of over the years. It wouldn't be overnight, but it will take time, but it is the beginning. And I think he is the only leader, I think, in the Muslim world at the moment, with President Erdogan to a certain extent. And we know that in Malaysia also changes have taken place. Anwar Ibrahim has come into power. Muhammad Mahathir, as we said last year, lost his deposit also in the elections. And this is how the tiki crumbles, Shafat Ahmed.
Yeah, you said it well. It was something like how the cookie crumbled, how the biscuit crumbled. I mean, another name for cookie, the biscuit crumbles if it's made properly. But Abu, you know, you dip the biscuit into a cup of tea and you know what happened, it crumbles, and then you take a teaspoon and you sip it through. But Abu, you know, really looking at, you know, once again, looking at Imran Khan, he's taken a bullet for the country. I mean, he's taken bullets on his legs. Yeah. Mm. I mean, he went to hospital for the country. And, you know, he could have been 6 foot under. But Allah, as he said, Allah spared him for a reason. And perhaps we could see, inshallah, soon Imran Khan back at the helm or back as captain of the country. And maybe, you know, adding sanity to the region. And as you said, those Pathans, you know, the Pathans generally they stand up for each other. And they pledged to Imran Khan. Not to Pakistan, I think. You know, they said, no, you know what? You're a man of integrity. We will work with you. And this must be making this rogue regime shiver, because you know what these Pathans or what these Afghanis can do? The only nation on earth not to be conquered by anyone, Abu. And your thoughts?
Gee, Shafat Ahmed, and I think Imran has really awakened the Pakistanis to this concept of being free and really promoting the end of corruption and the stealing of the resources by the army, by the two families and those who are associated with it, Shafat Ahmed. And at the end of the day, we hope that with this dissolution of the assemblies, the pressure will be placed on the Sharif government, call the elections as soon as possible. And Lieutenant General Asim Munir will stay away from taking decisions. In fact, General Bajwa was very lucky, Shafat Ahmad. It was Imran who extended his term of office for the next 3 years. And at the end of the day, he played the role of being the one who put the knife into Imran's back, Shafat Ahmad. He said that he will be neutral in the circumstances, but it turned out that he was absolutely with those with the United States and the imported government trying to depose Imran Khan. Gee, Shafat Ahmad, another development that is taking place before we turn off. In the aftermath of the Istanbul bomb blast last month, President Erdogan has taken a hard line against the PKK and the YPG in northern Syria. The Turkish military has gone on the offensive to secure its southern border with Syria, where the PKK, with the support of the USA, has been purported to fight ISIL, but has created instability along the border against Turkey. President Erdogan is contemplating ground forces along the border to eliminate the threat of further incursions by the so-dubbed Syrian Democratic Front. Gee, Shafat Ahmad, that'll make it easy for the Muslim world. I think from Malaysia to Pakistan to Turkey to Syria, and especially, you know, today they called the 29th of November the day of international solidarity with the Palestinians, Shafat Ahmad. There is not only one day in the year that is dedicated to the Palestinians. I think every hour, every minute is every Muslim and every person with a conscience for justice will dedicate their thoughts to the Palestinians. In fact, in the last 24 hours, three youths were killed brutally by the Zionist regime, Shafat Ahmad. And with the installation of Itamar Guir as the security minister of Israel under the Benjamin Netanyahu government, Shafat Ahmad, it seems that he has already given instructions that Palestinian children with stones also must be killed, Shafat Ahmad. So the future, only Allah knows what will happen to the Palestinians. But we must make dua and Allah destroys the Zionist regime. Shafat, to you and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for having us.
I tell you, Abu, you were absolutely brilliant. And, you know, the way you flowed this evening to, you know, it's a reflection on the, you know, power Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed you with. And alhamdulillah, with all the hikmah that you have, you know, garnished over the years, you bring it so eloquently on the platforms of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and also other platforms in which I host you. Such a pleasure having you, Abu. You deserve, hey, come here, Lukalo. No, not one box, but two boxes of, Minso Abu Bakr for excellent research and coverage. Abu, you have a beautiful evening ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, our people, time for us to go for our break. When you get back, it will be time to drive in with Anwar.